This podcast is part of the Deluxe Edition Network. To find other great shows on the network, head over to deluxeeditionnetwork.com. That's deluxeeditionnetwork.com.
The podcast making public transit taking kiss stealing wheeling dealing son of a gun Tim the Nerd welcoming you to another episode of Friends Talking Nerdy, part of the Deluxe Edition Network. Head to deluxeeditionnetwork.com to find out more information about all the shows on the den. And sitting next to me, we have the busiest woman I know, the hip hoppiest woman I know. We have the greatest legal mind in the Pacific Northwest. We have Professor Aubrey. How are you doing?
It is I, Professor Aubrey, on this beautiful Christmas day.
No. Happy New Year, everybody.
Oh, God damn it.
If you were hearing this episode on the day this episode is... Yeah, we recorded the Christmas episode last week.
I want to have another Christmas episode. Christmas is so much more fun than New Year's.
Yeah, we'll do it next year.
How about Christmas, that? Christmas, you get presents.
That's right. That's right. Before we begin our regular show here, folks, we do want to give you an update because you may hear some noises in the background if the vocal isolation here from GarageBand doesn't help. Annie and Mimsy got spayed and got their shots today, and they are currently in the little kitty hotel, not liking a minute of it, especially Miss Mimsy, who had a cone on her head.
Yeah, how'd she get that cone on her head?
The professor ended up purchasing that from a local pet store in the neighborhood, but it was one of those deals where they offered to sell one to us, too, at the vet, and we were both like, of course not, we don't need it, and then within the first minute of us getting them back home, Mimsy was immediately starting to lick her wound.
Immediately. I mean, she just went to town.
It reminded me of Sherman. I mean, the way she sat and everything and just leaned forward, you know.
Just lick that belly.
That's right.
But
yeah, so
then she had to get a cone. You had to go down the street, you know, a whole three blocks to the pet store and get the cone, bring it back, put the cone on her, and then watch her as she tries to get it off so desperately. And she's getting stuck on things and she can't walk around properly. And she's really distressed.
And Annie, of course, is trying her best to find any sort of escape. We have a little litter box in there, especially made for a situation like this with paper pellets. But she got in that litter box and thought, oh, hey, maybe I can dig my way out. Started doing that, looking anywhere she can in the cage, trying to poke her head out. But at the end of the day, though, like, this is just, they're still dealing with the drugs that they had to go under. Mm-hmm. You know, they're freaked out. They had a very traumatic day, you know, for a cat, and they'll get over it. But this is a very, very tough day for them, and they got a lot of stimulation going on. So we may be interrupted here during the process of this recording, but it is for a good cause. Two of the best kitties.
Yeah. Best kitties in the business. And they get to enjoy the apartment, which, of course, people might remember Sherman lived in for a while after he had abdominal surgery.
Yeah.
there were a couple times he had surgery where he had to live in the apartment or he hurt himself, like hurt his leg, and he had to be on restriction. So he would have to go live in the apartment. He absolutely hated it.
Oh, man. I remember the look on his face. It was like, God damn it.
He got mad. Yeah. He would get quiet and silent and still and mad.
And then he knew what to do to cause the right kind of trouble to get what he wanted. Like, we had to clean up. When we brought the hotel up, we had to clean up the kitty hotel because of a mess that Sherman left on there. And he was like, I know what will happen if I knock over this water bowl and get my litter everywhere. Yay!
It'll make cat shit mud.
Yeah, yeah. All the memories.
Memories.
It's the type of memories that you go through it and you're like, ah, son of a bitch. But then you think about it later with a smile on your face, you know?
Yeah. And it's just all part of his wonderful life.
Exactly. So just wanted to give you that heads up here at the start, but our first segment of the show here, speaking of Christmas, when we record this, we are 5 days away from Christmas, but Professor Aubrey received some gifts from a family member.
That's right. I received some gifts from my aunt and uncle in Tennessee.
Yes. Do you give them a shout out?
All right, this is going to be a big shout out to all my East Coast Baldwins. That includes Lissa, Buster, Matthew, Keeley, Alyssa, May, and David.
No Skeeter. I'm kidding.
Not currently.
Okay.
That could be Alyssa's nickname at some point.
All right.
My family gives weird nicknames. So they sent me some presents. And what's interesting is they got in touch and they said, you know, do an Amazon wish list. So that of things that you might want for Christmas. So I said, okay, let me go do that. And I really picked out things that I want that I would never buy for myself.
Right? Nice.
Good gift things. And some of them were pretty weird. So I'm very interested to see which of the weird presents my East Coast family chose for me.
All right. Yeah. So what we decided to do once we were given those gifts today. We stopped by your mother's place today and received the gifts. And we thought what would be fun and a way to get your family to listen and to spread the word about our lovely show here is to have a live unwrapping. You do not know what you received yet.
That's right. I have no idea what I received. And I think we should do this. I'll do it in the way that I would do it if they were here.
All right. So we'll
comment on the presents.
Well, if they listen, then they are here. So welcome, Baldwin family.
Welcome, East Coast Baldwins, to your friends talking nerdy.
So first gift. Let's
go. Okay, first I'm going to grab it, and then I'm going to see, can I guess what it is?
All right.
Okay, it's rectangular. It contains lithium ion batteries. Exciting. So I'm going to open it now. This is fun.
And for point of reference at home, folks, the finished result that you are hearing will have some edits in this process, so you don't have to hear, stuff, the wrappers and stuff being opened. But
well, can we include a little bit of the wrapper being opened? Because I think that's nice.
Okay.
Fine. Okay, just like a second of it.
1 second.
These are awesome. So these are XO8 True Wireless Earbuds.
Yes.
True Wireless Tagray. These are the number one rated non-Apple earphones, earbuds.
Cool.
They can transmit 33 feet. They are waterproof. They can play for 6 hours on a single charge. And they can stay charged for 60 hours in standby mode. So it also has a nifty screen, which Apple's product does not have, that tells you how much power is left in the battery.
You said that like I still work there and have some control over that. It's your fault, Tim, you fucker.
No, I'm just saying.
Nice.
It also does wireless charging, and I have a wireless charger, so.
Well, there you go. Nice pair of earpods there. Thank you, Baldwin family.
Yes.
It's present number one. You forgot to guess what was in the package.
Well, I did say it was rectangular, okay, and that it contained batteries, but I was not able to go any further than that.
Okay.
Okay, can I go to present number two now?
Go to present number two.
Oh, this one is quite small. Quite small indeed.
This is money. Da, 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 da.
Oh my goodness. Look, it's the Deva Rock Control Delrin multi-gauge rhythm and lead guitar pick.
All right.
You can play anything with it. It's got multi-gauge control. So each side of it is like a different hardness. And so you can play more softly with a softer one and more loudly with a harder one. And you can use the same pick instead of having to trade picks and keep up with two picks and all of that. So,
yeah,
it is cool.
And you always can benefit by having more guitar picks because those do tend to, due to the size and especially due to these four-legged creatures we have in the house, can sometimes end up growing feet and going to different places to where you don't know where they are.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, you are correct too. Like different types of guitar picks will have different types of sounds depending on the firmness, the flexibility and all that stuff. And also the type of material they're made out of.
Absolutely.
Yep. Great gift there for such a great musician like you.
No, thank you so much. And my uncle is a musician as well, as is my cousin Keely. And they appreciate the need for picks.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Keely, of course, has been on the show before in a few of our book club episodes.
Yes, absolutely.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. She's a friend of the show.
A friend of Friends Talking Nerdy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Present number three. We ready?
Present number three. We're ready to go. Da-da-da-da.
It is pirates. It is something to do with pirates. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. It is a pirate can-can girl skirt.
Nice.
I'm very excited about it. I can tell that it is very high quality. It is made of a woven cotton,
mm-hmm.
which is great. It's not made of polyester or something really thin. So I'll be able to wash this and iron it if I wanted to, which I do not want to. But it's like a can-can girl skirt. And it's exactly what I wanted, and it's exactly what I asked for in my Amazon gift list. So they pick some pretty normal ones, the earbuds and the picks, but they came through with a little bit of a weird request, which was the pirate skirt.
Yes, I think Bugs Bunny wore one similar to that at some point.
Really?
Yes. Bugs Bunny loves to cross-dress, of course.
Yes, Bugs Bunny does love to cross-dress. It's true.
Yeah. Any more gifts in the bag?
No, that is the three gifts. That is so generous, and I love them all, and I really appreciate it.
Nice, nice. So, you have, look at that. You have your wish. You had Christmas on the New Year's episode of Friends Talking Nerdy.
Yes, I had Christmas. I just had some Christmas. Well, we need a little Christmas.
Yes, and our excuse, too, is that when we are recording this, this is 5 days before Christmas, so we can still be in a Christmassy spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Not that Tim is into Christmassy spirit.
Yeah, fuck that.
I think you're more of a Scroogey type character. If you had money.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I wouldn't be like Scrooge. Like I would give it to some charities and whatnot. I just wouldn't want to meet the people I'm giving the money to.
Or have to talk to them or interact with them as if they were human in some way.
Well, I think part of it too, like, would be like if I was rich and famous, I wouldn't want to have a situation to where if I did support a charity, anybody in that charity felt that they must, you know, praise me because I'm around or something like that. You know, it says more about you know, someone who does have money when they can give and give and give and ask that their name not be publicly stated as the, you know, purveyor of said gift, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up with that back in Michigan with the Van Andels and the DeVos family, you know, having a little contest to see how much of Grand Rapids they can name after themselves.
That's right. When you tell me about things in Grand Rapids, whether it's buildings or events, it's always one of those two names.
Yep. Yeah.
It's sort of like the Knight money here in Oregon. The founder of Nike.
Yeah, Phil Knight.
Phil Knight and his father have a number of things named after them at the University of Oregon.
Yeah. Couple of douchebags. Anyway. Well, we thank you, Baldwin family, for these lovely gifts.
Yes, thank you so much.
Someone else who is now at the point of receiving gifts is the band KISS.
Really? They're going to get gifts?
I'm sure they probably already received it, but I thought this was an interesting topic because even though this is involving the band KISS, I think that there are some broader ramifications to music that I think are kind of interesting. So let's get to it here. KISS officially retired from live touring at the beginning of December. They played their last shows at Madison Square Garden. And at the end of the show, on the big screen, they had an announcement that the KISS digital avatars are now a thing. And what will happen is that those digital avatars will replace the live members of the band and essentially go out on tour. And I think that is kind of an interesting thing to do because, like, unlike classical music, to where, you know, when, you know, I brought up The Who and Beethoven last week, you would mention, you know, one, not comparing them, but in a way, having, you know, KISS doing what they're doing could be a way that, you know, rock stars of any type of genre would be able to keep their presence in music history and still give people 50, 100, 200 years down the road a chance to essentially sort of see them live, but have it be a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
You know, I think it's great. Like, I think giving people more opportunities to see their heroes is wonderful because it generates good feelings and we need more good feelings in the world. So I'm pro generally. Now, am I concerned? Here's my concerns. What if artificial intelligence can really replicate the experience of being at a live show? What happens to live music?
Well, I mean,
if I can go to a Madonna concert for $100 at my local, you know, small theater, I would do that.
And I think as far as positives for what this step does for music, I think, yeah, opening up the opportunity for more people to see a band in atmosphere where it was originally intended. Because, you know, even with rock music, even though a lot of bands make music specifically for albums and whatnot, it's, you know, their bread and butter is still touring. And, you know, people, if you have a favorite band, 9 times out of 10, you know, like, you want to have an experience to see that band live. And, you know, like us, you know, we were not fortunate enough to be around when the Beatles were still touring. But what if, like, the Beatles, for instance, came up with something similar? They sort of did it already with Cirque du Soleil and their Love event.
And they sort of did it in the video for the new song, Now and Then.
True. But what I'm referring to is specifically having a concert of the type of event where you have people gather in one place to watch said event. And, you know, like, Elvis even had this in the past. I remember at the Van Andel Arena, they had this tour where Elvis's backing band, the members that were still alive, played live along to a video screen of Elvis singing.
Yeah.
And, you know, that at the time I didn't get a chance to go see it, but that I think this is a way that this type of music, if you think positively, can reach beyond the physical years of the performers in question. The drawback, though, is if we see what entertainment is like and how so happy everybody gets with, you know, this sounds just like mine, so you can't have it, type of deal. And with the fact that when it comes to music, there are only so many variations of songs that you can really make.
Yeah.
You know, I think to your point, you know, when you talked about the negative, I think the negative here is that by keeping these bands alive while they still hold the copyright, or their estates still hold the copyright, with lawyers being involved, I think that could stifle creativity. That could stifle a young band that maybe, let's say they are fans of Kiss, because new bands, when they start out, are an amalgamation of all their shared interests. And if it sounds just too much like a band from 50 years ago that aren't even touring live, but have a live stage show, and ABBA is another one, you know, I think that could stifle creativity for the next generation. I mean, we're already seeing some bad ramifications of, you know, creativity in this country, thanks to the copyright laws being, you know, extended for as far as they did, thanks to Sonny Bono.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's not without danger. Not without danger, but also not without possibility and opportunity. So, you know, I think you just have to balance the desire to have more one-on-one experiences, or not one-on-one, but like in-person-y kind of experiences with favorite bands. I think that's worth putting up with some negative consequences, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the big problem here is something that's kind of a problem in everything, and that's capitalism. You know, when you have major corporations that own this IP, they are going to do everything they can to bleed every last drop of coin from, you know, the products that they owe. And, you know, there's a podcast, and I need to finish because it was a two-parter. I only listened to like 3/4 of the first episode. There's a podcast by Portland native, I forgot his name, Robert Evans. It's called Behind the Bastards. And I listened to part one of a two-parter where they talk about the former CEO of GE, Jack Welch. And he's kind of not the guy who created it necessarily, but the guy who spearheaded the whole effort as a CEO of punishing the workers of your company for mistakes that you as a CEO do. You know, it's like the having no heart, having no care about getting rid of 10,000 jobs. You know, and also doing what they can to, you know, pay the workers as little as possible. Because, like, for Henry Ford, he was a horrible man in a lot of ways, but he understood. And he, when it comes to him in his place as essentially the CEO of Ford, or the creator of the Ford company, he understood that a well-paid workforce is going to be a more loyal workforce. And, you know, name me a CEO today that thinks that way.
I mean, I think there are a few. There are a few CEOs of small companies that are into that, but not your Googles or Microsofts or Costco's or
McDonald's,
Columbia,
or 7-Eleven, any Best Buy, Apple.
You know? Yeah, I mean, I was thinking specifically about ones from here in the Pacific Northwest, because you would think that we have a different ethos. But when there's money involved, people's values go out the window.
Yep, because all about the cream. Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar bill, y'all.
dollar bill, y'all.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, you're right. This has possibilities to be something that can carry the spirit of, you know, whatever band in question, whether it's Kiss, whether it's ABBA, because ABBA's done something similar. If this can keep the interest in those bands going for well beyond their years, that's a good thing. And I think this is a way that kind of rock is finally kind of exploring what's next. You know, because things do change, you know, and like I was trying to make with a comparison with Beethoven, it's like over time, Beethoven did pass away, and all we have are other people that are interpreting his work today. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what the future holds. I just hope greedy fucking CEOs don't ruin this and stifle new bands, especially.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's dangerous, like I said, but perhaps worth the risks.
Exactly. So before we go to our main event, how about we send it over to one of our friends at the Deluxe Edition Network?
That sounds like a great idea, Tim.
It is an amazing idea. Let's do it. Sit back, relax, hear this message, and you'll hear us on the flip side, yo.
When the criminal justice system fails, it fails hard. Innocent lives are ruined, guilty perpetrators go free, and communities suffer. But what if we told you that the flaws in the criminal justice system run deeper than you think? Join us on the Broken System podcast as we explore the cracks in the criminal justice system. From racial biases to wrongful convictions, we'll investigate the issues that are driving our justice system to the brink of collapse. We'll bring you the stories of those who have suffered under the broken system and the experts who are fighting to make things right. Together, we'll ask the tough questions and demand real change. Are you ready to take a closer look at the flaws in the criminal justice system? Tune in to the Broken System podcast, available now on all major platforms.
We have talked about New Year's resolutions multiple times on Friends Talking Nerdy for at least the past 4 years. Didn't do it in the original days of the show, but this is another one of those that, you know, I blame myself for this, but we should have been a little more vigilant because this is one of those topics for a podcast that are an easy episode.
Yeah.
You know, last year, the Reverend Tracy and I did talk about kind of like the pros and cons of New Year's resolutions. So it's something that, you know, we've discussed on the show before. There was a year to where we even gave our New Year's resolutions and then totally forgot which episode it was on and had to go back. It was all a thing, but we're more organized today.
Yes, we are.
That's right. And so what we wanted to do with the first episode of Friends Talking Nerdy in 2024 is discuss our resolutions. And because we want to make this a recurring segment on the show next year at this time, we will look back on these resolutions and see if we were able to achieve them or not.
Sounds great.
All right. Any general thoughts on resolutions to start things off? Do you have any general thoughts? Not about what you specifically wrote, but just
In general. Right. In general, I'm opposed to resolutions because I think they set expectations that for me are difficult to meet. And it makes it more difficult if I've promised myself I will do it because I am so obstinate that I want to be defiant of what my own brain wants to do.
Reminds me of a Family Guy bit where it was like old Peter was watching a video of young Peter and, you know, he wanted to punish young Peter. So he cut his arm off. And then remembered, oh, wait, that's not how that works. You
know? Right.
Yeah. You're like, I hate Family Guy. Why'd you bring that up? Shut up.
No, I just think if you say you had a resolution to work out 5 times a week or something ridiculous like that, when you didn't do that, right, then that's a failure. As opposed to saying, maybe I'll work out more next year.
Yeah.
And maybe I won't.
And that's, you know, and this is, you know, kind of based on the conversation the Reverend and I had last year. I think the important thing when it comes to resolutions is making them achievable. Mm-hmm. You know, because some people, like if they have a resolution of losing weight, which is a common resolution people have, they, you know, if they have like my physical activity, they're the type that at the end of the year, they're going to be like, on January 1st, I'm going to exercise every day, eat all the right food. And then, yeah, to your point, after a day or two, they have one little mishap to where they forget or don't have the time to work out, or, you know, it's easier to get a cheeseburger, you know, then all of a sudden I failed and can't go on when.
Right. I failed and I'm not capable of doing those things.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm not even going to try anymore because I've proven to myself I can't do it.
Yeah. And the goal here, I think, with a resolution, you know, and I, with what I did with mine, I called it a vague specificity, mm-hmm. You know, like vague in the sense of not having, you know, like if it's, you know, like eating healthy, it's not, you know, I will eat healthy every single day at this particular time. It's just eat healthy. It's vague. It doesn't have a specific goal in mind in terms of, you know, how many times you want to do it. And it doesn't beat yourself up over the days that you think, hey, I'd rather eat two bags of Ruffles.
Well,
shut up, Tim.
Shut up, Tim. No, I was going to say something.
You forgot.
Yeah, I forgot.
All right. Well, if you remember, we'll bring it back up. But what we will do now, similar to the Nerdy Five, is bounce back and forth. We both came up with five resolutions, and we will tell you what that resolution is and why we came up with that resolution and have some conversation from there. So are you ready?
Yes. And I remember what I was going to say, which is that I think that I have straddled the line between specificity and vagueness quite well. Mm-hmm. But you might listen to my resolutions and see, Tim, you can pass judgment on how I've done there.
Yes, I'm a judgy person all the way.
I'm asking you to provide me some feedback, okay?
You will get that feedback. All right, did you want to start things off?
Certainly. Okay, so here's my first resolution. Act from a place of loving kindness, seeking justice and harmony, and offering gratitude.
No. Why did that come to mind?
Well, I just think I catch myself sometimes about to say something or about to do something, and I say, am I coming from a place of compassion and a place of love to talk to this person? Mm-hmm. You know, what I want to talk to them about and how I'm going to talk to them about it. And I do that for really focused conversations, but not for, you know, the guy on the street or my neighbor or people at work or, you know, basically people I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know well. So that's one way to think about it. And I think I'm good with this, which is the focused conversation with an individual. I feel like I can stop myself if I'm coming from a place of anger, frustration, anxiety, and just try to ground myself in love.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to let people walk over you, of course. But you also, you know, and I'm not saying you do this, but you don't want to be the type of person that would go into like a grocery store and yell at somebody that works there because they don't know where the mushrooms are. Again, you've never done that. I'm not saying you do that, but there are some.
I've done that, though. I have done that. I've been really ugly to people. I'm definitely ashamed of my behavior towards people that I didn't need to be mean to. You know what I mean? Like, they had nothing to do with the situation. I mean, I just did it the other day when I took. So Tim has this skull shaver, mm-hmm. and it stopped working. And so we procured a new one, and he sent the old one back we're supposed to send the old one back for a refund. So I took it down in the UPS store, and I had my little, you know, return label mm-hmm. in the email. And so she said, what's your label? And I said, it's right here. And she said, no, that has to be printed out. And I didn't have it printed out. And so I said, can you print it out for me? And she said, yes, for $2, I can print it out for you. And I said, great, let's do it. And then, I could not figure out how to get like a PDF of that from my phone so that I could attach it to an email in my phone and send it to this postal email address. And I stood there for a while trying to figure it out. And eventually I was just like, I can't do this. And turned around and like huffed out of the building.
But you didn't, you know, like spit at the person and question. You just.
God.
Yeah. So don't beat yourself up. I mean, like, you didn't. Like, you
have some behavioral expectations that go beyond.
Yeah.
You know, don't get spit on or have a coffee thrown on you.
Yeah. Anyway.
I'm just saying, I've been not as nice as I could have been.
But you're also human. I mean, like, I'm not the most cheery person to other people in humanity either at times. So definitely not throwing stones, let's put it that way. But it is something important to keep in mind. I think we all have to go through that. Even, like, if Mr. Rogers were still around, there were times where he would have to go through that as well, because it's just human. That's just humans at work.
Yeah.
You know? All right, good resolution there. Shall I go on with my first one?
Please.
Read more books. Simple, like I said, vague in terms of, you know, Goodreads, that place affiliated with Amazon, and also like the iBooks on the Apple devices, that you can have, like, you know, a goals as to how many books you want to read. And every time I do that, I never reach up to it. And reading is important, you know, even if it is reading silly action adventure novels or comic books, taking the time to read exercises your brain. And I don't do that enough. Like I said, I didn't want to have a situation to where I said, I am going to do 25 books, because at that point, I'm going to set myself up for failure. I think the important thing, more than anything, is just keeping that in mind, reading more, because even if it ends up to where I only read 4 books this year, you know, I read about 4 books this year too, but you know, if I read 5 next year, one increase compared to this year, I would say that's a good thing.
Sure. I think if there's an increase, that's great, but you've got to know how many books are you reading now and what percentage do you want to, you want to read 30% more books. So I hear what you're saying, that you don't want to get into all of that weedsy stuff with regard to this. And so you're trying to be more vague and say, I want to read more. You don't identify it more than what, right? Like, more than Aubrey reads? Definitely. You're going to be able to meet that goal. I read on the internet. I don't really read. I read for work. And I don't tend to read paper books anymore.
Ever since tablets became a thing, most of my collection has been digital anyway. So it's not like I'd have to bring like 20 different books with me everywhere.
Right.
or anything. But again, I just have to read more. I've taken some good steps in terms of cutting down on some of the distractions, you know, with like my computer devices that have kept me from it, but I can also do better. In terms of reading on websites, I count that, you know, because if you're reading articles, you know, about news of the day, you are reading something that somebody wrote. So that is reading. It's not a book, it's not a story, but it is still reading. You are engaging with the written word. So that is something that you should in some ways count. Mm-hmm. You know, not necessarily in terms of, you know, this will make the people at Amazon happy by doing this, but just read more. I think everybody should.
Awesome. I think that's a great resolution.
All right.
You want to hear my number two?
Yes. What is your number two?
All right, my number two is accept what is now, right now, and be here. You know, it's just a different version of be here now. Now, be here.
And it kind of
be now.
And it kind of touches back to the episode that as you are hearing this, it will be 2 episodes back. But as we record this, it was the episode we released just this week about mindfulness during the holidays. Mm-hmm. And there was that part where, yeah, they talked about, you know, releasing some of the tension that can come with trying to make everything perfect, mm-hmm. because it's not going to be perfect, you know, and enjoying the now means enjoying the fact that those little mistakes can happen, you know, during a holiday period or something like that.
Yeah.
Anything else on that?
Well, you know, I just think it's something that is good to try to do, mm-hmm. is like be in the moment and be as engaged in the moment as you can be, and not as much partaking of, not so much multitasking. Mm-hmm. Like, I think there's way too much multitasking going on and that you can sort of focus on one thing, that doesn't mean you don't care about other things or want to do other things, but you're focused on this one thing. And I would like to be more like that because I feel like I'm not focused on what I'm doing most of the time. That I'm focused on, oh, I got to check my email. Oh, I got to, you know, work on this. I got to open, you know, this program at work and enter this data. Oh, I got to write a survey that because I need to send it out. Oh, wait a minute. The book orders are due today, so I better do the book orders. And so I just spend so much of my time trying to organize and prioritize the tasks that I must do, but that I can't get done, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I get that. All right. So shall I go on with my next one?
Absolutely.
All right. Eat better.
Mm.
I've said that before, and I will keep saying it because the older you get, you can't, a man cannot live on Chef Boyardee alone.
No.
You know? And the vagueness in here is not me stating, I'm going to be a vegetarian, I'm going to be a vegan. Eating better just means not putting as much butter in things. Not always, you know, eating something like macaroni and cheese all the time. Portion control, too. Because with depression being what it is, there are times to where I do find myself like, oh, hey, I ate a lot more than I probably should have, really full belly type of deal. So eating better, it kind of encapsulates a number of things, really, but I'm not getting younger. And, you know, doing things like drinking water more often is something that will help you out. I mean, younger people out there, if most of your liquid it entails drinking like soda or alcohol or whatever like that, you're not setting yourself up for a good future. Eating better, you know, drinking better, of course, and just being more mindful of what's going in to keep this little meat sack that is me, you know, going for as long as it can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that seems quite sensible.
Mm-hmm.
I think I avoid things that have to do with food because it feels like it creates this sense of scarcity that makes consumption that much more attractive. You know what I mean?
I get that. And that's why, you know, I kept this as vague like I did, because eating better is not stating you can't have a cheeseburger. Right. It's not stating you can't have greasy food every now and then, but it means making sure that type of stuff, or, you know, more than anything, if anything, like the processed, you know, stuff from a can type of deal that you can get off the shelf for really, really cheap, but not really good for your body.
Yeah. All right. I like it.
All right. What is your next one?
My next one is let go of obligations, assumptions, and demands, and instead cultivate freedom and autonomy in all my relationships. I feel like my resolutions are like Jack Handy sayings, or like one of those books that's like 365 phrases that are supposed to, you know, be about chicken soup for the soul, or, you know, some other like religious or whatever. And you go through the calendar day by day and it has a different statement. I feel like my resolutions, as I'm reading them out loud, they really are reminding me of, you know, these little inspirational things.
Yeah, and those can sometimes have cheese factor associated with it, so I get, you know, I get where you're coming from, but sometimes cheese works, you know, if you know, writing something that even you say is a little on the cheesy side, if doing that is what's going to help keep in your head throughout the year to keep on going with, you know, fulfilling this resolution, then I love the cheese.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's cheesy if it's sincere.
Exactly.
I think that people can tell whether you're being serious or you're being like you don't care about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just could be really harmful to somebody.
Basically, you're saying it's like the difference between When Harry Met Sally and a Hallmark movie. Sincerity, forced crap, you
know? Exactly, if you want to put it in movie terms. You put it in dining terms, right? Perhaps it's the small local cafe on one hand and the, you know, the big corporate fast food place on the other hand.
Yeah, corporate jackholes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anything else about that one?
Well, what do you think of this? Is this a resolution that you might be interested in pursuing yourself?
I mean, I would hope people would want to think that way about the relationships in their lives because, you know, it's like take romantic relationships. You know, society has deemed that there are expectations that should be met in those types of relationships at certain points. And if they don't, then you must question. And, you know, the more time has gone along and the more I've been polyamorous myself, the more you realize that those expectations, you know, if aren't really good. Mm-hmm. You know, what I mean by that too, it's just like, you may have a partner to where things during a course of time are going because those whatever are working well, but there may be a point to where it no longer works well. And you got to let that person live their autonomous life. You can't tell like a spouse, I don't want you doing that. Who cares? You know,
yeah.
Let them live their life because if they're not doing something that is actively endangering you, they're another human being altogether.
Yeah, like recognizing here is where I end and here is where you begin. And nothing that you do actually has any impact on me.
And to be clear, this doesn't mean it's okay to make plans and cancel with somebody, you know, stuff like that. If you make an obligation with somebody, you honor that obligation or come up with another scenario to where, you know, hey, we can meet on a different, or just communicate, really. But you're your own person, you know, and this idea of, you know, keeping a relationship as the way society puts it, you know, just is wrong.
Well, you know, the only times I've seen it, it's been a complete disaster.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still recovering financially from one.
Yeah. I mean, I've had my share.
Yeah. Yeah. The horror.
The horror.
Reminds me of that Sam Kinison bit to where he's talking about, you know, like a married guy that goes to hell and Satan comes out. I was like, Roar! Oh, wait, you were married? Oh, I'm sorry. This place, this was nothing to you then. I guess I still got to show you the tour. Come on, there's chains. Ooh.
Yeah. Marriage.
Exactly.
Yeah. What's your next? Is it to not get married? I think that'd be a good resolution.
Yeah, I think that is like a law in some states too, maybe. I don't know. But my next one, get more physical activity. Simple as that. Kept it vague. I'm not talking about, you know, I will get a gym membership and learn to bench press, you know, 200 pounds by the end of the year. No, it's just getting out and doing more. I mean, thankfully, since I will be working with a bunch of bitches now, I will be getting a lot of good activity, you know, good activity in terms of, you know, walking around a lot, bending over. I will be physically active, you know, much more so than last year. But I know with me, especially when it comes to like my mental health and depression and whatnot, if I feel really, really bad and I'm really down in the dumps, you know, I'm moving just enough so people know that I'm not dead.
Right.
And that's not healthy. Like, I remember, you know, in 2019 when I attempted suicide and I was in bed for almost a month, getting up for, like, going to the bathroom and, you know, walked to my apartment to the grocery store and back, I almost passed out.
Oh, wow.
Which was normally used to be nothing. Because, you know, with the jobs I had, I was walking around doing stuff all day. And it shocked me just how fast my body deteriorated to the point that something that used to be absolutely nothing physically would, you know, almost got me to pass out. And you got to be careful, people. You do. Because, like I said, again, if you don't realize it, your health will take a downslide real fast. And when it comes to stuff like physical activity, if you are even doing something like getting up and taking a walk outside, you know, then you don't have to do it every day. You don't have to beat yourself up if you, you know, don't reach certain fitness goals or anything like that. But be active.
You know, speaking of that, one thing that I did was to set my fitness, because, you know, iPhone has this fitness thing and I don't know how to opt out of it. So it's just always telling me you haven't reached your step goal and or, hey, congratulations. So I set my step goal really low at like 2000 steps. And so I make it most days. Because I don't want somebody telling me every day you failed to meet your step goal.
And that's a tough part, too, because you're using the health app on the phone. Whereas if you had like the Apple Watch, it would actually record that information much more precisely than what the phone can offer. The phone is pretty good, but not 100% too. So, you know, I can, you know, go in and help teach you about notifications and whatnot on there if you want later. But using something like that as a tool can help. And to your point, yeah, set the goals low, at least at first. That way you can get that, you know, the adrenaline rush or the mental rush that you get when you do achieve something. You know, like it's an easy goal to achieve, but you achieved it, you're going to feel good about it and you're going to want to continue again because you like having that positive reinforcement. And then from there, you know, like if you were consistently getting 2000 steps and you wanted to raise it to 2500, boom, that is a very much a reasonable increase, but not something that is like doubling the amount of steps you have to take.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. All right. What is your number four?
Number four, move as much as possible. So very similar to yours is trying to be, you know, just open to, what does that look like? I don't know what that looks like. Does that mean going to dance class twice a week? Does that mean walking 2 miles every day? Does it mean doing yoga in my living room? Like, I'm not telling myself what it has to look like, only that my body needs to be in motion.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, it could be something simple, like, take grocery shopping, for instance. We are within what I would consider a reasonable walking distance to Safeway.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we do have like the push cart thing as well. Your mother bought you this carrying cart to where you can put your groceries in. So maybe it's one day you think we need groceries, so I'm just going to walk. Boom. I'll get what I need there. Or maybe not. Maybe that might be too much of a long example because with super long legs, what's appropriate for me is not appropriate for everybody else. But, right. You know, it could be just walking across the street to the co-op and, you know, getting it there. But you got out, you got physical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't do the Instacart.
And I think that feeds on itself. Absolutely. Because like you said, you could stay in bed all month because the inertia. Well, the same thing is if you get up and go to co-op across the street, you'll realize it's not. I mean, I think I'm afraid, like, oh, it's going to be shitty outside. It's going to be raining. It'll be cold. I'll just stay here. I'm just going to stay here and do without whatever that thing is because it's so cozy, right? But, you know, I think, yeah, moving more, getting out of the house on a regular basis.
And a perfect resolution right there, because it's you're not setting yourself up for a particular goal. It's just the idea of moving is what is important. As long as you are doing that, you are winning.
Exactly.
Yes. All right. Shall I go on with my next
one? Yeah.
All right. Play more guitar.
Excellent.
I named my guitar Dusty because is collecting a little bit of dust. The good thing about the guitar so far is that, you know, in terms of like, you know, making the particular chords that you need to make, I still remember what they are. So if I pick up a guitar, I can play a G, D, you know, A minor, stuff like that. But the important thing about the next step I want to get in, I don't, you know, learning a song would be fun, but to me, I still have to get used to the 1-4-3 thing. What do I mean by that? There's in terms of like making songs, I guess, like if you start off with a G, it's like A through G are the chords. And if you start off with a G, that's the one. The four, you know, G is the last one. So you go start with A, B, C, D would be four with D, and then go back to G in terms of making a song, I guess, musical theory.
Mm-hmm.
Musical theory.
I don't know anything about it. You're confusing me.
Yeah. I don't know much about it myself. But the goal here, I guess, is to be able to get to the point, even though I know cowboy chords and that I am cool with knowing that, I'm not looking to, you know, learn like lead guitar and solo playing. I don't want to do the whole finger practices with every single thing, you know, the pentatonic scale or whatever. But I would like to be able to get to a point where I could noodle around and know which sounds go together good,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense. Because you can play a particular chord all you want, but if you don't know how they interlace together or put enough time in to be able to do some of the transitions, because, you know, a G to a C can be kind of tough, even though there are plenty of great TikTok accounts you can follow for like quick little tips on guitar. And somebody actually, you know, did the tip of with a G, instead of doing like your first two fingers there, use your your second and your third finger for the first part of the G. That way, those two can just go down one string and it'll be easier to transition to a C.
You know, you start talking about this stuff, you do this with me on a regular basis. You want to share this amazing knowledge that you gain with me. And I just don't understand what you're talking about.
It makes sense to me, damn it.
Yeah. I mean, I think you've got a great musical mind. You've got a great ear.
Mm-hmm.
Your pitch is good. I don't know. I've never heard you sing. I don't know if your pitch is
good. No. I think I got a baritone. I think that's my voice there, and which means most popular music I'm not going to be able to really sing.
Right.
You know, I can pull off a couple of Jimmy Buffett tunes. Okay. You know, but I'm not going to sing. But again, I'm just looking to play guitar more.
Yeah.
Not looking to replace any sort of band or anything like that. I want just another creative outlet. And it's right there. I'm looking at it right now as we speak. And yeah, Dusty needs to be played.
Yep. Dusty. Love it.
All right. How about you tell us your last one?
Well, what's funny, because we just had the same one.
Mm-hmm.
We got the same one again, because mine is express myself through my actions and the products of my labors. So just this idea of being creative and, you know, being expressive of my personality. I think that's how we develop. And, you know, I think we should be developing our whole lives. And that's how we do it, is by engaging in creative activities.
I agree.
Yeah.
And it's harder than it sounds, because it's something you have to pencil in. And sometimes you have to fight urges. Like if you have a long day of work and physically you're sore and you just want to relax and watch something on TV, that's easier than, oh, I got to spend a half hour, you know, playing the guitar to be able to, you know, keep the momentum going. Because any creative outlet, writing, you know, music or anything like that, if you don't put the time into it, you will get rusty.
Absolutely. And I've had that happen and you've witnessed it. Like there have been times where I've played guitar every day and I've gotten really good and I've known a lot of songs. Then there are times like now when I play maybe every third day, every fifth day, and, you know, I can't play. I can't make my fingers do what they're supposed to do, and I can't make the shapes, and I can't push down the...
Strings. Okay. That's what they are.
I kept wanting to say chords, and I knew that wasn't right. Strings.
But, you know, yeah, I mean, you're putting your fingers on the strings to make a chord.
Right.
So, you were not far off.
You're so sweet. You always try to tell me how I'm correct rather than how I'm wrong, which I appreciate.
Yeah, I mean, if you're wrong about something, you're wrong about something, and that's fine being told that, but, you know, you shouldn't automatically look for the negative in everything, you know, gotta see the bright, always look on the bright side of life, right?
Yeah.
All right, anything else about that particular resolution?
No.
All right, how about I wrap it up?
Wrap it up.
I'm focusing on something creative as well, and that is write more. Writing is weird for me. It always has been. There are times to where I'm nonstop, just, you know, clackety, 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 typing up word after word after word, and it's just flowing out like crazy. And then there are times to where I can look at a screen, see that cursor blink and blink and blink, and not think of one damn word. There are some things I can do to increase that, though. And the idea here, again, with something like this, the write more just means that, write more. It doesn't mean creating a goal that I would beat myself up over if I didn't necessarily reach it, but just writing more. Like, I mean, because you've seen it with me, like there are times where just writing everything and everything's going out. And for me, I guess it's fighting that urge to just stay in my head, you know, because a lot of it, I think, does boil down to mental health stuff, which, you know, kind of, I think one common theme with these goals is bettering myself, you know, and if I'm talking about being more physically active and, you know, eating better, I also have to think about the mind as well. And, you know, the more I am sustaining that and not just wallowing in my own self-pity, you know, the more I'm going to have that urge to keep on fighting another day.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, let's continue to keep each other going throughout 2024.
Exactly, folks. And I say the same for all of you out there. If you have any resolutions, make sure they are resolutions that are attainable. Don't make a resolution that is out of your scope to reach or something that is just too stringent. Because again, with something like working out, there are going to be days to where, you know, you'd rather be home than at the gym or just, you know, working out. Let's say you're a jogger and you decide not to jog for a particular day or a particular week or a particular month. Don't beat yourself up, because the whole purpose of the resolutions, in my opinion, when they work well, are just essentially reminders, you know, to keep those thoughts in your head of, you know, I'm an imperfect human. This is what I can do to be better. As long as I am working towards that, everybody wins.
Yeah.
All right. So we do thank you all for hearing what we have to say about our New Year's resolutions. And as we record this, I met you 4 years ago today.
4 years ago today, we met.
For the very first time at the River Maiden Coffee Shop in Vancouver, Washington.
Indeed.
Had an interesting date. And ended up meeting someone who quickly became one of the closest people in my life. And, you know, like, you've been interlinked with the show since pretty much the start. We're almost to the 4-year anniversary of your first appearance on the show.
Oh, wow. Our second date was doing the show.
Yeah. I mean, that might be something interesting to put on YouTube, like a director's commentary or something.
Oh, right. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah. In the longer days, because we, what was it, Plastic Milk Hotel or?
Neutral Milk Hotel.
Neutral Milk Hotel. We reviewed an album from that band.
Yes, and I was so earnest about it.
Yeah, it was a lot. Yeah, we... It was the second time we had met up in person, and so we didn't have the rapport that we have now. So a lot of it was just talking and talk. Like, I talked wrestling on there, but then I realized I was going too long, and you're like, fuck, he talks so much about this. I don't know if I can talk to him anymore. My God, wrestling all the time? Ew.
That's so funny. You're so funny.
Well, you are a special person to me, and I'm glad we get to share some of our lives with the listeners at home. You are special to me, and I hope you are as special to them as you are special to me.
Well, probably not. I know I'm pretty special to you.
Toot toot.
Toot toot. You're also really special to me.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes. These 4 years have been briber with you in them.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, that is the weird thing about life. Like, you know, when you meet up with somebody that you're, you know, head over heels for, you know, it's like you just initially you have the urge of, I wish I met you sooner. And, you know, I think we met each other at the right time. And it also feels in a lot of ways like if there was reincarnation, like we've had, we've met in the past, you know.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
You know, we're like two of those people that just like always meets up in future lives and future lives, and the relationship just keeps getting better and better and better with each new lifetime, you know.
Well, that's great. I hope that's true.
Yeah. All right. Any other thoughts?
Not tonight.
All right. So we got a steak and some potatoes that are going to be waiting for us here after this recording. So each Monday, we'll have something in this podcast space to entertain your ear holes. Until we meet again, we bid you adieu.
And goodbye.
Happy New Year.
Subscribe to Friends Talking Nerdy on iTunes, the Google Play Music Store, as well as Spotify. Remember to support Friends Talking Nerdy on Patreon. Goodbye, darling.